Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be here sharing your time with me on this June 22nd day, 2019. How kind of you to join us as we take a look at what the meaning of our divinity is. Do we have a divinity, and what does it mean to have it? We're going to look at it a little bit here on Aspire this morning. I want to remind you, as you know, and I know you get tired of hearing this. You probably sit there and think, oh, God, we skipped this part. But your kindness, your generosity is very, very important to Aspire. Without it, we cannot, we can't do all the things we do, or I do, going to hospice, doing this radio program, our TV efforts, a lot of charitable things that we do, help children. Everything we do here at Aspire is to serve humanity in some way or another. And your tax-deductible gifts are the only way in which we're able to do that. I work very long, very hard, very diligently to make sure that all of this is done in a timely way. And I hope that you will make your donation, become a sponsor, and help us sustain our efforts. My work at hospice alone is very, very demanding. And without your kindness and your support, we just could not do it. We just couldn't. So I hope that you'll consider being a sponsor. By being one, you can sign up at aspire.org. You receive some very beautiful gifts, real important gifts. The gift of the message of the month, each and every month, access to all of my TV discourses that I've done over the many, many years, podcasts, video casting, commentaries for those of you who are... may I say, more diligent than most people. Most people think that what I'm teaching here is a mere philosophy, and it's not. It's much, much more than that. So it's a lifestyle, actually. It is a way of living within oneself. Your financial support is always deeply important because just like any other organization, we have to pay the bills. So I hope that you will consider being a sponsor today. It would help immensely. What is divinity? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's a pretty hazy thing. It's difficult for, I think, Wikipedia to get it. The state or quality of being divine. What does that mean? The study of religion or theology. A divine being, a god or goddess. A puffy, creamy candy made with stiffly beaten egg whites. Oh, God, we're dumb. Anyway, that's divinity. Okay, I like the last one. What is your divinity? What are we talking about in divinity? It's that state of being within us all, where we are deeply connected to the oneness and the source of the universe, the source of everything. And it is only there in this divinity that we realize the state of the soul. You see, your divinity, my divinity, is the state of our soul. And few people ever attain to that soul because it just doesn't, it's a lot of work to a lot of individuals in this world, and it just doesn't seem to, pan out. What was it one of my ex-students said to me? I don't want to be like Buddha. I don't want to be like Jesus. I want to be me. Ooh, of course, she was an alcoholic. But I want to be me, whatever that is. Inside of each and every single person in this world lies the divinity of the soul. And so we're going to do a little chit-chat here with all of this in the questions that I've chosen for this beautiful day, and I hope they serve you well. First one comes from Craig. He says he lives in Los Angeles. That's nice. Can the divinity become the humanity? In other words, Greg, can my divinity overcome my humanity? Craig. Your humanity is what keeps you here on Earth. Your humanity is what is probably most important to you. Your divinity is the most important thing, your soul, but you probably will not attain to it because it takes a completely different lifestyle than the one you and I normally live under and live with. So it becomes very difficult for most people to understand their divinity. The divine that lives within you is the source of your life. You saw how it acted in the Buddha, in the great master Lao Tzu, in Jesus. You've seen this divinity rise and come into fruition throughout their lives. And most people are enamored with the idea of the miracles or the profound teachings. But what you must understand is that the Buddha and Jesus are not looking for followers. They're not looking for people to follow them. They're looking for the awakening. They're trying to help people awaken to the love that lives within, because it all boils down, Craig, to love, deep, profound love. It is not the human love that most of us generate through our emotionality and think of as our emotional life. It is far more than that. And we miss so much of our life based on this premise of our emotionality. Do you realize how much of our lifetime we have wasted in trying to get our emotions hyped up enough for us to consider ourselves happy or satisfied or gratified? Most people live under the dim light of emotionality, thinking that in that emotionality there is some sort of love, and there isn't. Love will never be found in my emotions. Love is only realized through meditation, through the heart, through inner awakening, your divinity. Your divinity lives as your soul within yourself. Think of your soul as the presence of a great love that lives within you. And the divinity is what comes out of that soul in the form of how you live your life day to day, moment to moment. That divinity is the virtue of your heart. And when you understand it in that way, or if you can understand it in that way, I should say, then you find a profound meaning of life. You find a profound meaning of goodness in you. Jesus talked about this goodness in an interesting way. He talked about it as salt. He said, when your salt has lost its savor, then you become worthless and people trample all over you. Life tramples all over you. He talked about this salt. Salt was used as a preservative. They would put salt on their dried fish to keep it preserved for a few days so they could eat it. And when that salt lost its savor, in other words, when it just pooped out because it was time for it to give up the ghost and it could no longer be used as a preservative, then it was worthless. And he was saying to us, don't let your life become worthless. We do let our lives become worthless. We honestly do. And that's why we have the most difficult time with our living, is because we allow our livingness to become worthless, spiritually speaking. We're so enamored by the idea of getting what we want and thinking that we should have everything that we want. We are enamored with the beliefs that we have about life, love, God, the whole thing. We miss the meaning of our existence. We miss the whole thing because sad to say, we have a concept about life and love that is just simply not true. So you're asking me, can the divine become the human? No. No, they are two separate things. Your human nature, my human nature, is always going to be about genetics. It is always going to be, in my case, about Ed and Jean Penn and their families and what they came from in their lineage. And that is passed down to me in my body. If I'm not a very wise person, I will just live haphazardly out of that lineage. Most people consider nothing else but that. Oh, there's nothing else to be. There's nothing else you can have. And that's a kind of a cavalier attitude to take. It's convenient, too, because then you don't have to explore. People don't want to explore beyond their body. They really don't. They just want to live from the body to the body, back to the body, over and over and over again, because they feel inadequate in any other way. Being a social is much more important than awakening to the spiritual within. You can live your life with the human being, shall we say, receptive to the divine. In other words, to act out of the divine, no matter what my human nature wants me to do, to act from the higher virtue. You can do this. Anyone can do this. It takes practice and willingness on our part. But most people don't see the advantage to that because they're always measuring things as to, well, what's this going to get me? How am I going to have a better life? And that's all people want, is a better life, Craig. So if you want a life, not a better life, a meaningful life, you have to seek out the divine that lives within you. You have to trust it. You have to allow it to have its will and way in your living. If you don't, all you have is humanness. And that humanness can, think it's, spiritual by believing in certain things and acquiescing to thoughts and emotions that make it think it's spiritual. When it's, I have a lot of students, former and present, who like to believe that they are spiritual when they are only intellectual. Real spirituality requires a deep commitment, a personal commitment to love and to the principles of love. And you have to discipline yourself. You can't let your mind just wander here and there and yonder. You have to stay focused. And when you do, and if you do, the beautiful awakening occurs. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Great question. Next one comes from Jane. She lives in San Luis Obispo. How about that? Why perfect the divine when the earth is so imperfect? I just feel like we're being drowned by mediocrity, as you put it in your commentary. Jane, I don't know how you got my commentary. Somebody must be sharing it with you, but that's perfectly fine with me. You know, this world is difficult. When I say world, I want you to understand what I'm talking about. It's people. The world itself, its nature, the nature of the planet Earth and all of that is one thing. There is an order and a sequence of consequence in that order. And if you're very adept, if you're observant, if you're kind, if you're alert, you can see this order and how it works. And it's very beautiful. It reflects, believe it or not, us as human beings. And there's a viciousness to this order, a chaos to this order that is reflected by people like us, our humanness. You have to understand. So you ask, why perfect the divine when the earth is so imperfect. The earth is fine. It is what it is. But we are here to transcend this earthly order, as it were, this dog-eat-dog, eye-for-an-eye, tooth-for-a-tooth mentality. We're here to transcend it. We're here to come to a very special place inside of us where we can awaken. This awakening comes in just opening our inner eyes. And when I'm no longer shackled by my thoughts and my beliefs and the things that I think are right and the things that I think are wrong, when I'm no longer shackled in all of that, I start to live a different kind of lifestyle. That lifestyle is about generosity, compassion, and forgiveness. We're not here to perfect the earth, Jane. I'm not here to change the world. I can't do that. I'm not even interested in that. Jesus didn't do it. Buddha didn't do it. Lao Tzu didn't do it. This is not a place you perfect. This is a place that you come to within yourself where you see the perfection of that which lives within you, the state of your divine, the state of your soul, the state of your authentic being, not your humanness. Humanity is a mess, and it is getting, you know, worse and worse as time goes on, because we refuse to acknowledge love. We refuse to be in love. We refuse to sustain the state of an inner love that is greater than whatever it is that is our emotionality. We just are very stubborn people, very willful, and we get caught in a loop. And that loop is what I want, what I can get, what I want, what I can get, what I want, what I can get, over and over and over and over again. We make what we want what we need to get, and we make it seem like it's some kind of accomplishment, but it's not. The accomplishment is never in the world. Anything that is an accomplishment in the world, well, is subject to impermanence. And that's just the way the law is. But that which is subject to eternity, being immortal, is that which lives in the heart. Love is immortal. And this love that I speak of is not this emotional, gushy kind of thing that most people believe in. Affection, desire, ambition, pride, vanity. All these things are about human love. No, the love that I speak of is transcending. It's transcendent. And it moves far away from those things that would plague us in the cancer of our beliefs and our attitudes, our genetics. You know, until a person just basically realizes they're not living their life, they're living the life of their genetics, which means hundreds and hundreds and thousands of legions of people that live within our bodies as genetics, as DNA, we will not mature. We will not grow. We will not understand the way, the truth, and the light in us. We just won't understand it. So we have all of that to deal with inside of us. And it is very difficult for me and thee and all of us to transcend all of this when we're busy sinking our own boat with fear and hate. So the object is not to perfect the world. The object is for us to come into love, to maturate into love, to surrender to love, rather than to succumb to biology, psychology, physiology. There's a transcendence here. And if you can relate to that transcendence at all, if you can come to a place of transcendence, well, that is something unique. You make yourself something very different. And you can change many, many different things in your world. Whether you will change others, doubtful. And Jesus came, Buddha came, Krishna came, Lhasa came. They came to bring us the chance for awakening, the insights for awakening. What we did with it, what we do with it, is purely up to us. Most people just ignore it. Kind of sad, but true. Thank you, Jane. I love San Luis Obispo. It's one of my favorite haunts. And I want to thank you for your beautiful email. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Harold. He does not tell me where he lives. Does God exist in the world? I don't see any evidence of anything divine in this world. Harold. Harold, I understand what you mean. At least I hope I do. There is a lot of falderol in this world, a lot of, you know, sickness and mental illness, especially in this world, going on. Our whole life, our government is mentally ill. The whole thing is mentally ill. And it's based on reason and logic, desire, ambition, and pride. And because we live in those venues, those genres, we miss what is really happening in our heart. Does God exist in the world? I am not a God guy, okay? When you say the word God to me, you're talking about an anthropomorphic being that sits somewhere in the ethers and dictates and has odd reasons for doing the odd things that only a god could do, you know, that kind of thing. My experience of God is only through the soul, my state of the soul. And I agree with Jesus when he said, God is love. It is only love. That's the only thing I know. If there is anything else, I'm sorry, I just don't know about it. I've not come to grips with it yet. But my experience has been that God is love. And love is God. So, does that exist in the world? Yes, it is the very fiber of the world. It's the principles that unite nature to us. It's a part of the grand scheme of living. But that isn't obvious to most people. It is not prevalent to them because we are too busy being subservient to our body and the calls and the instincts of our body, which only wants certain things to happen that are pleasurable and gratifying. That's all it is, reproduction, sex, and money. That's all we have. But if you step out of that, if you can step out of that, if you are willing to step out of that, if you are willing to calm your mind down and do something more significant than what your mind can fathom, then you come into a very different causation of life. And you realize it is this presence of love that has nothing to do with our concept of love or our concept of God, that we ascend into awareness and understanding. This understanding is beyond the mental acuity of a Greg Penn or of a Harold. This acuity is spiritual acuity. It is that part that awakens out of compassion and loving kindness. You are here for only a short time. To waste being here on the idea of what is right and wrong or good and bad or whatever is a foolish notion, and a lot of people get involved in that. I say to you, above everything, you have to want love more than wanting what you think you love. And if you can do that, if you can live in that, Harold, something beautiful will awaken you. I hope that helps. Please forgive me, huh? Namaste. Well, there you go. We'll be back on the air tomorrow morning, and I hope you will join us. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day. And of course, you know what I'm going to say. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.